My name is Michael Tucker, and I am the host of the Real Estate Success Strategies podcast. Today, we have Kyle Grimm with us. This dude is killing it in the real estate market. He is 26 years old, and he's a real estate investor and a broker. So that just adds to his forte. He's a really awesome guy when it comes to the real estate broker side as well. He's focusing on mobile home parks and multifamily. And he actually got started in real estate when he purchased his first rental his senior year of high school. Not many people have that feat. Not many people can say they bought rental properties in high school, but that's when he started. And ever since then, he's been hooked. He's currently working on scaling up from single family and small multifamily into larger apartment buildings. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is just that. So Kyle, man, welcome to the show. How's it going?
Good. Hey, thanks for having me. Super excited to chat today. My bio definitely talks me up a little bit too much. Hopefully your listeners don't think I'm going to be some sort of pro, but yeah, I'll try to add value if I can.
Well, I love it, man, because you're a young gun. You're a little older than me, but how old are you right now? So you said you got started in high school with rentals. How old are you right now, and how long have you been in the real estate space?
Yeah, so I would have graduated high school back in 2012, and I'm now 26 years old. So just tell my wife last night, I'm like, I cannot believe how fast time is just flying by. So, you know, been investing in real estate for about 8 years, but I haven't been full time this whole time. And, you know, as you probably know, a young guy doesn't have a ton of capital. So, you know, I've been investing, but I'm not huge by any means. So, you know, just keep on growing the portfolio.
Right. Well, it's cool because today on this podcast episode, we're chatting with Kyle, who, like he said, he makes it sound like he's not doing big things, but he is. He's slowly growing, and it's that compound effect that's taking him to the next level. And he was just telling me before we hopped on here that he has seven renovation projects getting ready to kick off. So he's trying to manage that. I'm like, dude, you're busy, man. So kudos to you and everything you're doing. But dude, let's take this back all the way to high school. Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about who you are and what made you want to buy that first rental in high school. And we'll get into the mobile home stuff eventually, but let's go back in time.
Yeah. Oh man. All right. Well, so back in 2012, yeah, senior year of high school, I really didn't have a direction. You know, looking back at my high school years, I was never like the kid who was saying, I'm going to become a doctor, I'm going to become a lawyer, or even an engineer. I never had that clear, direct plan. And I just, you know, I saw my friends, it seemed like they all had direction, and I just was really unsure what I wanted to do. But, you know, I knew that my dad, so he was actually in real estate back in his 20s and 30s. So I knew that he always enjoyed real estate, and he always told me that he regretted getting out of real estate. He actually went into the financial services business. And so I had that in the back of my mind. You know, I was pretty handy. I like to get out and about. You know, I was not made, I should preface this by saying, like, I was not a good student. You know, I did okay. I took the most basic classes I could, and you know, I graduated probably with A's and B's, but you know, definitely was not your perfect student who really strove for a lot. So I knew that the college route probably wasn't the route I was going to go. My dad never went to college, so I kind of had that in the back of my mind, and you know, he's done quite well for himself. So I just decided, you know, I'm going to start trying some different things. And I remember I just fell in love with looking at houses. You know, it's fun. You get on Zillow or Realtor.com, and you know, I'd sit in math class sometimes, and I just kind of browse through these houses. And of course, I, you know, had very little money. I was a pretty good saver when I was younger, and I, you know, I worked a decent amount, so I had some money sitting in the bank, nothing tremendous. But that first house I bought, when I tell your listeners this, they're probably going to fall out of their chairs, because I paid $5,000 for it. So you know, in hindsight, would I recommend doing that to most kids? Maybe not, but it got me started, and you know, it helped me learn the whole process of real estate.
So, where was this property at?
So it is in my hometown. You know, I live in a town in the Midwest, about 40,000 people. Nothing, you know, the average home price around here is about 130,000. So, you know, it's nothing extravagant. And this house is sitting in a pretty rough area. I mean, probably one of the roughest areas in our town. So most people weren't dumb enough to touch this thing, but I remember I found it. They're asking like $12,500 for it, and talked to my dad about it. I'm like, look, you know, it's been sitting on the market for a long time. Let's offer him like $5,000, and I offered him $5,000. They took it, and I probably should have ran at that point, but just decided, you know what, we're gonna try this thing out. So I had a good buddy back then. His name was Austin, and we spent a lot of nights over there. just renovating that thing. And Again, I was pretty handy. A lot of it I did myself. I had a lot of tools. I worked construction on the side. So a lot of it I did myself, which that's a whole nother conversation on, whether you should be doing the manual labor yourself or not. But it did get me started, and it gave me a really good knowledge of, how a home is built, how what to look for when I'm looking at potential properties now. And so yeah, I mean, that's kind of the long story short, is bought that first house and then just kind of kept doing it from there. Bought some more houses actually on that same block, and then I started flipping some homes. Not very many, nothing on a big scale, but yeah, that's kind of what got me started. But I knew in the back of my mind that the passive income was what I was going
Right.
for. So I
I'm
loved that.
curious, man. I'm curious. This first property you bought for $5,000, how much money did you put into that thing?
I wish I had a good answer to that, because my records back then, I've never been strong on the number side. So I, if I had to guess, I probably put like, a little under 10,000 into it, which isn't that much for the amount of work that was needed on it. But you have to keep in mind, I wasn't paying myself. I wasn't paying anyone else to do it. I do think I paid Austin a little bit, but it was more of like, hey, I'm going to help you out. So
Right.
it was pretty much
Well,
free
do you
labor.
still have that place?
Nope, I just sold it this year. So
For how much?
I sold it. Oh, so I sold it in a package deal for 20,000.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So, I held it for from 2012 to 2020, or yeah, 2020. So I sold it in a package deal, four of them. I sold for 20 grand a piece, and if I would have sold it outright, I probably could have sold it for more, probably like, closer to 30. But an investor bought it, as is, just bought it with cash, and so I
What
was
were you
happy with
renting
that.
that thing for after, in high school after you got it fixed up?
My first tenant, his name was Leroy, and I rented it to him for $525, and he was my first tenant. We had some issues with Leroy. I think every single month I had to chase him down for rent, but I don't know why. I still, look back at that, and it was a fun experience. I mean, even the fact I had to go knock on his door every month and be like, dude, where's rent? It
Right.
was such a good experience for me, and really taught me a lot about, dealing with people and managing real estate.
Right, yeah, definitely, man. That's very interesting to hear how you got into a deal for like $15,000, $20,000 roughly, and you're making $500 a month, which I'm sure there's a lot of learning curves and things like that. But dude, that's awesome. So you bought this first property. Was it just like a snowball effect? Did you just go right in and start buying more properties, more properties? How long did it take for you to start building that compound effect?
I mean, again, I was young. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do back then for sure. So I was dabbling with some other stuff on the side. At one point, I tried selling insurance, and went off on that road. And I've always been doing real estate, but it's not like I've been always extremely focused on it. So, that from 2012 to, I don't know, 2015, I maybe did a total of like, I don't know, five to seven deals or something like that. A couple of those were flip houses, and then I bought some more buy and hold properties. But I mean, it was a slow process. And in hindsight, I could have ramped up much faster if I would have leveraged other people's money. But I just didn't have that mindset back then. So it was really a slow start. I didn't do anything huge, up front. But yeah, it was, slow, slowly but surely.
Well, I love it because there's so many people right here and they think they have to get off to the start and be doing tons of deals when you're like living proof, like, hey, slow and steady wins the race, right? And like some people will agree with that and some won't, but I mean, there's so many people that are trying to take such big bites out of the real estate game. They're trying to go out and do everything. Listen, just start with one step. And maybe that's you watching and you're overwhelmed with the real estate experience and the real estate industry. Listen, take it small, one deal at a time. All it takes is getting that first deal for you to open up a life of opportunity. So, if you're watching this today and that's you and you're thinking, man, I've just been overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. Listen, take it slow. Okay. Kyle, listen, he's doing big things now. He's buying mobile home parks. And like he said, he's trying to scale up. And it's because, now correct me if I'm wrong, Kyle, but because you were slow and you kind of learned the ropes and you took it at a pace that was more feasible for you, you're able to do those things. Would you say that's right?
Yeah, no, I would definitely say so. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, starting slow, it can be a great way. Like I said, I've also done a lot of the different aspects of the real estate. So I've done the management myself. I've done the actual repairs and maintenance myself. Dealing with the tenants one-on-one. So, I think if someone's trying to get started in real estate, it really can be a good option. I always tell people, because I get asked this by guys all the time, how should I get started? My best suggestion to people who are interested in investing in real estate is buy the duplex. If you're younger, you don't have a house yet, buy the duplex, live in one side, rent the other side out. It's going to give you a really good overall taste of how real estate's going to work, because you're reducing your living expenses, but you're also dealing with a tenant. You've got to keep track of the numbers, and I don't know, it's just a good way to break into it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I actually was just telling somebody else that the other day. She was talking about how she rents and stuff. I said, listen, why don't you get a small loan to get a duplex? You live on one side, you make money, you have free rent pretty much, and you're wanting to get in the real estate space anyways. Why not do that? So, dude, I love it. Everything you're saying lines up right with me.
I've done it twice now and it works, I'm telling you. So you guys, if you haven't done it yet, you can do it. But I mean, also just, the flip side of that, maybe you're a little bit older and you have money and maybe you have a day job. I would not suggest, people who have a really good career and they love what they do, but they want to get into real estate. I would not say, hey, go buy a duplex and maybe house hack it. Maybe you should look toward more towards the route of being a passive investor in someone else's real estate. So there's just so many different avenues in real estate to make money, whether it's, syndication, joint venture, you're buying your own stuff. There's so many ways to make money.
Yeah. And I love it because once you start experimenting, that's when you really find your niche, right? So a lot of people say just pick one, but sometimes you have to experiment a little bit. For me anyway, I had to dip my toes in a little bit of everything to figure out what I actually like. So was
Yeah,
that the same for you?
that is a weakness of mine. I'm definitely the same way. Like I love experimenting. I'm trying all kinds of different stuff.
I'm the same way.
But I know, I listen to the successful guys, the guys who are just absolutely killing it, and everyone's like, you gotta get in, find your niche and you need to focus on it. And I have a hard time with that. I'm working on it, and that's why in my bio it says I'm working on scaling up. So I'm trying to get out of the small stuff and just focus on the
Well,
bigger
I love it because
deals.
it's so true once you find that area and you become an expert in it. But sometimes at the beginning, you don't know what you want. You don't like if you're just brand new into real estate, you're not going to know if you like wholesaling, flipping, or what. So sometimes it takes you just getting in there and getting your hands dirty to find out what you actually like and what you want to become an expert in. But
Yes,
dude,
exactly.
I want to ask you. So you started ramping up these properties over several years. You start getting some properties. What made you want to get into mobile home investing? Because there's some listeners on here right now. They're probably listening to this podcast because they've seen mobile home investing. Not many people talk about that. So what made you want to start getting into that space?
I'm trying to think. I've been asked this before, and I can't really narrow it down. I know it probably came from a podcast. I know I was probably listening to some sort of podcast. I think it was Kevin Bupp. He has two podcasts, and one is more just general investing, and the other is focused on mobile home park investing. I think that's who originally kind of got me onto the idea. But if you know, I don't know if you know of a guy named Frank Rolf, but he's like the fifth largest park owner in the country. And he's not like a REIT or anything like that. So it's him and his partner Dave Reynolds, and they put on this training, this more or less boot camp that you go to, and you talk about everything mobile home parks. So I went to that in 2016, I think, after I was listening to some podcasts about parks. And it was really after that that I decided, hey, I'm going to buy my first park. And again, that was back in 2016, but it wasn't until 2019, that last year, or was it 2018? Somewhere in there, that's when I actually closed on my first park. So it took a while, but I was continually looking at them and getting familiar with the numbers. So, but yeah, to answer your question, I think it just came from a podcast, and I just realized, hey, there's some power in these parks that a lot of people aren't seeing. And one other thing I'll touch on really quick is, you got to look at the situation around you. Are you in a big metro area where you have maybe a lot more, big apartment buildings that you can invest in? Are you in a rural area where it makes more sense to buy these cheaper single family homes? And in my situation, and I'm 2 hours from a major metro, and I know that's a mindset thing for a lot of people, like, oh, I don't live in a big area, I can't invest in real estate. Well, I'm living proof that you can. And I look around at where I am and I'm like, well, there is a lot of mobile home parks around here, so why not focus on that? There's not many apartment buildings, large apartment buildings that I can invest in my
Right.
area. Not to say that you have to invest in your area, but it's just kind of look around at your situation and decide, well, what makes sense for what I want to do in the area that I'm in.
Right. No, I love that. Kyle, whenever we first connected, I kind of relayed this to you that we're kind of in the same situation, right? So like the biggest city near me, the bigger city, was like an hour and a half. We have smaller cities, 30, 40,000 people, like kind of like where you're at, but everything else is kind of smaller. So, I never really thought about that, to be honest, until I started hanging out with people like you, because we've been trying to find apartments, but mobile home investing seemed like it could be the niche to get in if you are in a smaller town. So tell me, this first mobile home park you got, how big, how many lots is it? Is it something where they just pay lot rent? Do you actually own the trailers? Give us the rundown about that property.
Yeah, so before I get to that park, actually, let me tell you a real quick story. So,
Go
of
for it.
course, I wanted to buy the ultimate thing to own, if as far as in my perspective, I want to own just the dirt. I don't want to own any of the homes, and I just want to collect the lot rent. And there's lots of reasons for this. Maybe I'll get into that in a second. But the first mobile home park deal I did was actually I bought a portfolio of 11 mobile homes, individual mobile homes. They all sat in someone's park. And I had been negotiating with this guy since like 2016, and I can't remember if I closed on it. I think I closed on those in 2018. But I was trying to buy his whole entire park, and we just couldn't come to terms on it. And so he's like, you know what? We're not gonna make a deal here, but I have these 11 homes. I'll sell you these. And I'm like, well, okay, maybe this will get my foot in the door into his park. I'll learn the ropes. How mobile home parks or mobile homes work. How to manage them and so on. So that was my first mobile home park deal, was just the homes. But in hindsight, I probably wouldn't do that again. The homes are they're a nightmare to take care of. So moving on then to the first actual park deal I did, it was a 36 space park. When I bought it, there was zero. I didn't own any homes. Everyone owned their own homes. There was 30 homes in there when I purchased it. The lot rent was about 150 bucks, which is pretty low. And the unique part about this deal was it was an auction. So when I bought it, I had no financials, I had no leases. This park was in very, very much disrepair. I mean, it had been really, it was r being run into the ground by the more or less son who was a drug addict and didn't know what was going
Oh,
on. So
wow.
yeah, so 36 spaces, 30 occupied, lot rent was $150, and I didn't own any of the homes. So
So
that.
let's pause for a second. For anybody that's listening and you're brand new to real estate and you have known nothing about mobile home investing, what he means is at this time, he just owned the ground, the property itself. And so people pay him to have the trailers there. And if they don't pay, Kyle could go in there and tow their trailer away. Am I right?
Yeah, so I have not gone through that yet. Luckily, I haven't had that experience yet. But there is, yeah, there. If you do have to evict them, either they have to move their mobile home, or it's like an abandonment process where you go and apply for their title,
Right.
and you would end up getting the title of that
So
home.
pretty much he was saying he would rather just own the land because he doesn't have to deal with mobile home repairs and things like that. And I'm not nothing, if you live in a mobile home right now, awesome. But what I'm about to say is something that was true probably more than likely when you let me know, but a lot of times mobile homes need more repairs because of the class of tenants. Would you agree with that?
I would to a certain extent, yes. Part of my when I talk to people about mobile home parks, the reason why I love them is when the tenant owns their own home, first of all, it's probably one of the biggest assets that they own. And so they're going to do everything they can to keep that home. And so they're going to comply by the park rules, they're going to take care of the home, they're going to have pride of ownership. When you drive through these mobile home parks, they're just, torn to pieces. They look terrible. And the ones that just give the bad reputation, a lot of times you'll find out that the owner of the mobile home park actually owns all those homes and he uses those as rentals. A lot of older mom and pop operators thought that that was the best model because they would collect more rent. But, from the years that I've been looking at it and from getting advice from other park investors, it's much better if they own their own home because they have pride of ownership. And it just the park just flows so much better.
Makes sense. Yeah, and just to add on there, people are commenting, and yeah, it's so true. Mobile homes are just they're cheaper built as well. So like if you were, just going to go in there, I just wanted to clarify what I was saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I totally understand. I never really, I guess, thought about that, about the ownership, them taking ownership of what they have there on the lot. If they were just going in there and renting and they didn't pay rent, they
Yeah,
didn't own the place, it'd be a lot harder,
another
I'd say.
pro I have to throw in there of why like I'm so bullish on mobile home parks is, like you said, a lot of times, unfortunately, it is, your lower class tenant in a mobile home park doesn't mean they're any less of a person.
Right, exactly.
Maybe just financially they're strapped. The thing that I found is when you go into the, C class apartment buildings and you get into that same, income bracket, you have a lot more tenants that are coming and going. You got tenants moving in and out all the time. And it just seems like a lot more dangerous place than a lot of times these parks because, my parks, I have tenants who have been there for over 20 years. And what I have found is it's so much more like the neighborhood that I would have grown up in, where, Jim down the road has been there for 20, 30 years and everyone knows each other. And it's a community where these, low income apartment buildings, it's like no one knows each other.
Right.
Everyone's moving in and out every single month. And yeah, it's very common to have tenants in there for, 10, 15, 20 years. And so it just builds a really good atmosphere.
Gotcha. Cool. So tell us a little bit about collecting rent, managing. How's that experience been for you so far?
Oh man, I'm trying to build out the systems to make this easier on myself. So, if I add it up, I think right now I'm around like 80 units, somewhere around there. But so what I'm trying to do, at least right now, is I'm trying to build out more or less a vertically integrated management company. So not only do I own the properties, but I also want to own the management company that manages these properties. So right now it consists of myself and my mom as my bookkeeper. And then I've got handymen who work for me. And then I actually have managers in the parks. So, specific when it comes to like, actually collecting lot rent, I'm trying to get everyone to pay online. That's definitely been a process trying to get, some of the older people to, get online and pay. But I would say at this point I'm like 60% of collections are paid online. And I use a software called Rent Manager to track everything. So they can log right onto my website, log into their portal and pay. And then the rest of them just send everything to a PO box. I go pick it up, deposit it, and then my mom will, do all the back end, like bookkeeping and stuff like that.
That's awesome, man. 80 units. That's and you said majority of those are mobile home parks or lots or parks.
So if I break it down, someone's gonna have to check my math. So I have the 36 space park, I have the 22 space park. I just bought a 12 unit about 2 months ago. I house hack a 4 unit, and then I still have the 11 mobile homes.
Guys, if this doesn't get you pumped up, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm super excited for you, man. It's just like I was chatting with somebody the other day. Like literally all it takes is one deal for you to get to somewhere like Kyle. Like he's very humble. This dude, he's just being humble. But listen, over the past, he's been doing this very part-time and he's got up to 80 units part-time. You guys can do this. It just takes consistent action and not quitting. Because so many times we'll get in the journey, we'll quit for a while, get back in, quit. It's just being consistent and taking the steps you need. So Kyle, dude, I'm just gonna applaud you again, man. So, 'cause you're too humble, man.
No, like I said, I mean, I know guys, if they do get focused, they can blow me out of the water, within a couple years. So, yeah, I definitely don't feel like I've done a whole lot. I know I have, but yeah, nothing too crazy.
Definitely, man. So you want to scale up now. So you said you want to get into more multifamily and buy some bigger parks and stuff. What's your process about doing that? Which do you have a plan you're about doing to get to that point, or what's your plan?
Yeah, so I'm kind of like between the parks and an apartment building. So I think long term, I will probably want to buy apartment buildings. There's a lot more of them out there. There's a lot better systems to manage them. But I think that right now we're in a time that there's kind of a gold rush on these mobile home parks. So my thought process is I'm going to focus on these parks for probably the next few years, try to acquire a good sized portfolio, stabilize them, and then potentially sell them all off. So at this point, I'm focused on parks, and what that really looks like is My favorite part of the business is building relationships with the sellers and, you know, calling them, every month or two and finding out if they're ready to sell. And that's actually how I find the majority of my deals is off market. So, you know, what that actually looks like is me just building out a list of these parks kind of in a 3-hour radius of me and just, you know, farming that list, you know, right, as much as I can. So, I actually have another park under contract right now. It's a 38 space park. And so I should be closing on that probably in January. And then, you know, I've got some more in the pipeline. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Love it, man. So here's a question for you. This is a little different perspective. I'm sure you thought about this, or maybe it's not smart at all. I want to pick your brain on this. What if somebody said, hey, I want to buy some property and get it ready for people to put mobile homes on it? What's your thoughts about that? Have you ever heard of somebody doing that? Is that something, you know, that's smart, like getting electric put on some land, getting some, you know, septic out there? What's that look like for you in your mind?
Well, I think that maybe the answer to that question will change over the next 5 to 10 years because parks are all of a sudden just skyrocketing in value. But if you would have asked me that question, you know, a few years ago, I would have said, you're crazy. There's no way. The numbers don't make sense. It just costs way too much for the infrastructure, you know, putting in the electric, the sewer, the roads and all that. The numbers just tend to make sense. If you think about it, even, you know, if you have a 50 space mobile home park versus a 50 unit apartment building, the apartment building is going to bring in, you know, 5 times the rent. Mm. So it's a lot harder to develop a park, but I think that maybe in the future it might make more sense to do that. But I will say, you know, cities don't want new parks to be built. They're very, very expensive to operate, and the tax income that comes in off of them is very low. So cities generally don't allow new parks to be built. So you'd have to buy something out more in a rural area. And at this point, the numbers just don't make sense.
Okay, gotcha. No, I just want to pick your brain on that and see what your thoughts were, because for a while there, right after high school, me and a few friends were like, oh, why don't we just build them, or like, you know, develop a mobile home park, you know, and just we always have those dreams and those things. And so yeah, I mean, like picking other people's brains.
It's doable. I know that there's some parks being developed right now, but one of the beautiful things, I guess, about investing in parks is the supply and demand aspect that the demand is going up, but the supply is diminishing. There is many more parks torn down for higher and better uses every year than there are developed. So
yeah, here was this thought that we had.
A handful of parks.
Well, here's this thought that we had, because whenever, you know, we're in a rural area, we are, you know, the town I actually live in is very small, dude, like smaller than where you live. And like, we can find mobile homes like that are in decent shape for like $5,000. Right. So maybe even sometimes cheaper, and, you know, they may need 10,000 to get them up to speed, you know, but our thoughts were, hey, fix them up, sell them to somebody, you know, put them on the lot, fix them up, sell them. And, you know, that person has to pay lot rent. So that's just our thought, you know, make a little bit of money off the repairs. So that's, my brain goes more than just, hey, just developing and having people come in. It's like, hey, putting the mobile home parks there and selling them to the tenants, whether that's over time or just outright, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, everyone's got a different strategy, and there's a lot of different ways to make money in this. So who knows? I mean, yeah, that could very well work.
Who knows? One day, maybe I'll test it out and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Sounds good.
That'd be interesting, man. Well, dude, so let's chat a little bit about stuff outside of real estate. So I always like to get people, get to know people on a little different level. You know, what are other passions you have outside of real estate investing? Is there anything you like doing as hobbies, or just things you're passionate about outside this space?
You should ask my wife that question, because I don't know the answer to that question. Now, she would probably say all I do is dream about real estate.
That's cool. I just always like to ask people, because a lot of times we put on social media everything, you know, work, you know, grinding, or, you know, we're at this apartment deal and stuff, but you never really get to see the background. So that's just a question I always like to ask people when they come on, is like, hey, what else are you passionate about other than real estate? Because I know you probably have something in your life that you love.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the main things would be just traveling. My wife and I, we love to travel. We're not doing a ton of it right now, but traveling, we're super involved with our church. We're both Sunday school teachers, so we're, you know, involved with that on the weekends. I would say traveling, and then also just working out, being outside. We love nature and stuff like that.
Love it, man. Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on here. We could keep going on this mobile home investing journey, chatting about it, but I just know that one day we need to sit down and dive a little deeper. I'm thinking, let's do a training one day together. You think that'd be cool?
Oh man, we can try.
Let's hop on. Let's do this. What we'll do is we'll schedule a day to have you come on and actually break down individually, because we could dive way deep into how you invest in these mobile home parks, right? So how about one day we bring you on, and I have actually a private Facebook group. So if you're watching this right now live on Facebook, go to the Real Estate Success Group on Facebook, and there's 100, 200 people in there that we do trainings and stuff like that. I think it'd be cool to bring in yourself to come in and talk about that. Is that something you'd be interested in doing?
Yeah, I mean, I can give it a shot.
Love it, man. Well, guys, thank you for tuning in for another episode of the Real Estate Success Strategies podcast. Kyle, thank you, man, for hopping on here. Is there any way that people can find you if they want to keep up with your investing journey?
Yeah, I would say the best place is honestly Instagram. I tend to post way too many stories throughout the day. So if they want to follow me, that's where to find me. Just search my name.
Just Kyle Grimm?
Yep.
Okay, cool. I'll put the links below, guys. You know the drill. Everything you need will be below. So just click on it. You'll be able to follow him and keep along with his journey. So, and yeah, like I said, guys, if you like this podcast, if you like what we're doing and this information that's being given out, just hit subscribe. Just leave us a review, something to let us know that you're actively listening and you like it. So we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can find us everywhere. And listen, we have tons of more podcasts episodes coming out. So make sure you tune in. So until next week, guys, God bless you. If you need anything, hit me up on Facebook or Instagram, and we'll see you soon. God bless. Thanks, Kyle.
Yep. Thanks.